Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, through her childhood experiences, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and we're coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. And our topic today is death and the afterlife. I'm going to summarize what we now know about the certain future that awaits us all. And guess what? It's all good news. Well, it's almost all good news, as you'll see. My two experiences of light in childhood made me obsessed with figuring out where that light and that voice had come from. All I could think was that wherever all that had come from had to be where the dead are now. And I realized a few decades later that that supposition had been right. But I've spent decades, most of my life, studying nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent communications from people we used to think were dead, plus elements of quantum physics and other scientific disciplines. Eventually, I was able to figure out not just death and not just the afterlife, but so much more. What we talk about here on Seek Reality turns out to be a whole new science that encompasses all the familiar sciences, of course, and includes the study of a greater reality that may be 20 times the size of this entire physical universe. This is big, and you'll see it's big in more ways than one. So it's going to take us half a year to give you a short course in what's really going on, but when you think about it, that's not so bad when you realize how much we're going to be looking at, how much ground we have to cover. Here on Seek Reality, we'll be interspersing interviews with experts with programs like this, where your host will summarize where we are now and where we seem to be going. Today, we're going to talk about death. In other summary programs, we'll be talking about Christianity, science, the problems of duality, a number of things, including what seems to be about to come next. Seek Reality is a short course in freedom from ignorance and freedom from fear. Of course, I know that many of you who are listening already are pretty far along in your own journey of understanding, but I find that a review can always be helpful. A review is helpful especially because all of this is so counterintuitive. We've lived in a society that has taught us that we blink out like a light at death, right? We live in a society which is based in materialism. We look around us and, gee, this sure all seems to be solid. We look up at the clouds. I don't see any feet dangling off the edge. So where are the dead? How is it possible we survive? I saw that body go into the ground. No matter how much you know about what actually is going on, it takes a long time and much, much reinforcement before you really lose your fear of death. And losing fear of death turns out to be the whole point of all of what we're doing. And here's why. Fear of death is the base fear. When you lose it, you lose your fear of everything else. Fear of death is also the source of all the evil in the world. Fear is the lowest consciousness vibration. It gives birth to everything else that's bad. Hatred, anger, greed, grief, everything that is a downer comes from fear. And since fear of death is the base fear, that's where it all comes from. So I'm trying, yes, to comfort you about the people that you used to think were dead. They're not. They're just fine. And we'll be talking today about where they are now. But I'm trying to help you escape this trap of fear, because once you escape it, your life will be totally different, transformed altogether. And personally, I found that knowing the truth is not nearly enough, because no matter how much I knew, it took me a long time to get over that sneaking suspicion that maybe I missed something, maybe it isn't real, how is it possible? It took me a long time. I can assure you, you'll get there. You'll get to the point where not only do you not fear death, but you kind of see this as hard duty, And you realize that when you finally get called home for milk and cookies and hugs, it's going to be the best time of your life. I mean, I can wait. Fortunately, I'm old. I'd hate to be young now. Fortunately, I can wait, but I can tell you that the day will come when you will no longer fear death. If you will listen to Seek Reality, if you'll do your own study, and if you'll open your mind and open your heart to the possibilities. As you know, if you've heard the first couple of episodes, it isn't only science that's totally wrong about this, but Christianity is too. The only judgment once you die is by yourself. We'll talk about that today. And there's nothing to fear. You are infinitely loved. You are God's best beloved child. I don't care what you think. That's who you are. And knowing that is going to free you from those fears too. The other source of fear, of course, in our culture is religion. And most religions are based in fear, if not all of them. I've studied quite a few, but I haven't studied them all, so I can't say all of them are. But golly, once you understand that there is in fact a God, and that God is all that exists, but it's nothing like a religious God, it's infinite love and purity and light. Once you get that, and you no longer fear death, I can tell you from personal experience, you will be the happiest person you can possibly imagine. This is glorious. And what's going to come to you when you first get it is going to be a new life and a new beginning. One of the things we'll talk about as time goes on and Seek Reality is what you then can do with that. Because once enough of us really get this stuff, that's when we start to truly transform the world. And actually, once enough of us get all this, it won't even be hard. Jesus, when he walked the earth, talked about the kingdom of God on earth, and we can bring that ourselves. We don't have to, you know, wait for him to come back on a cloud or a white horse or whatever it is people are waiting for, which never is going to happen. We've been told that repeatedly by the dead. Instead, he came 2,000 years ago, and he got it right the first time. He's just waiting for us to wake up to the truth. And thanks now to people we used to think were dead, who are helping us to understand what really is going on all over the world. People are waking up to the truth, and the truth is so glorious. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to share this with you. Yeah, there's a little bad news we'll talk about today, but it's not so bad, and it's easy to avoid. And if I tell you what it is, you'll be able to avoid it. So that makes it all good news again. But I hope you'll stick with us through these 6 months. And if there are any episodes you've missed, please go back and try to listen to them in order. Because the point of all of this is to free you, to free your mind, to free your heart, to free you from fear, to free you from any doubt whatsoever about who and what you are. And as I say, that's a big task. So we're going to be spending quite a lot of time on it. But I assure you that for me, the time is joyous, but for you, the time will be well worthwhile. And as I'll say again at the end of the hour, if you have questions, just there's a contact block on robertagrimes.com. I welcome your questions. I still answer them myself, although sometimes it takes most of a day. But I'm thrilled to do that. I'm honored. I'm honored if you take the time to ask me a question and to listen to the answer and sometimes to debate it a little bit. If you don't agree with me, I'm still happy to have you contact me because frankly, I didn't agree with me at all in the beginning. I'm very skeptical by nature, and it took me a lot of struggle and a lot of study to come to where I am now. What I want is more than anything, I want you to be here too, because from here, everything looks wonderful. So I hope you'll stick with us, and I hope you'll contact me, and let's make this a community of people who are waking up to the truth, discovering how wonderful it is, and then sharing it with everybody. So that's where we're starting out today. And what we're going to do over the rest of this hour is talk about what the evidence is, what death is like, and I'm going to tell you it in detail how it feels to die. It's nothing to fear. And then we're going to talk about where the dead are now, and you're going to be so jealous you won't be able to stand it. Anyone who says to you that there is no evidence for the afterlife, this is what the scientists say. They're just a few people's personal anecdotes. Just push those aside. Anyone who says that is flat out lying to you, or he's expressing his own complete ignorance. There's syndromes that the scientists are going through now. There are several syndromes, and I'll talk to you about them if there's time in this segment, because they are kind of funny, but they're sad at the same time. But mainstream science is absolutely off the rails. I'll be devoting a whole program to that before long. And they are the ones who are leading this charge by everyone in continuing to be sort of what they call skeptical, but really basically expressing extreme and elevated ignorance. The evidence that our lives are eternal is at this point consistent and overwhelming. We're going to look at just a few kinds of that evidence now, but there's so much else. What gets me, and still does, I have to say, even after decades of doing this, is that all the evidence fits together. This is like a gigantic puzzle. And the more you study, the more you realize all the evidence fits together. When I find something that doesn't seem to fit initially, I investigate it further, and either I then see how it fits, or I realize it was a blind alley. And I've found almost no blind alleys in 40 years of doing this work. So it's all fun. This is the most fun, frankly, I think anyone can ever have. But what's the evidence? Well, the one most people know about is near-death experiences. I urge you to read about them, learn something about them. But the ones that interest me, I mean, there are two reasons these near-death experiences interest me. The first is that they demonstrate that we easily leave our bodies. I think nearly all of us have had a waking episode of being out of our bodies. I hear all the time people are emailing me or telling me about their own. But more to the point, you are an astral traveler too. You leave your body almost every night while it sleeps. Your body has to sleep. Your mind never sleeps. So while your body is doing its resting, you are off in the astral planes, which is most of reality, and you're taking courses, you're meeting with your guides, you're meeting with your loved ones, you're having fun. And that's actually my second bit of evidence about what's going on. But let's follow through with near-death experiences. The first thing that they do is that they help us to understand how easily we leave our bodies. And therefore, our consciousness could not possibly be generated by our body, could it? You know, tell that to your scientist friends. The second thing that near-death experiences really do for us is to help us understand, sort of on a popular plane, help us become comfortable with the fact that there's something else. Near-death experiencers have very different experiences. If you read enough of them, you're astonished by the differences. Some of them are quite religious, although there is no religion to speak of practiced in the afterlife. The reason that they're religious usually is because the person who is experiencing the NDE is religious, and those who are taking care of us and love us don't want to screw up our minds with weird stuff, so they make comforting little religious scenarios for these people to experience. There's a book by a little boy whose father, by the dad, but the little boy had an NDE, and it's all full of religious stuff. And that was, I think it's called Heaven Is For Real. That was taken as proof. See, it's all Christian. Well, it's not. He's a little boy. They had a lot of fun putting on a show for him, but none of that was anything like what actually is true about reality. But every near-death experience I've ever read is full of love. People who leave their bodies and have near-death experiences experience one thing which all the dead talk about, and that is the fact that once we leave our bodies, we are in an atmosphere of overwhelming love. So near-death experiences now are so commonly talked about that most people who sort of want to challenge me, and some people do, either in conferences or on my blog, which I hope you'll read. It's at robertagrimes.com, and we get a lot of comments now. But I get some sort of, well, your near-death experiences are just this or that. You know, none of what I talk about today comes from near-death experiences. We're told by the dead themselves that those who have NDEs don't go where the dead are. It's a different, wonderful, fantastic phenomenon, but a different phenomenon than completed death. So that's the first kind of evidence we'll talk about. The second is out-of-body travel. Now, if you're a near-death experiencer, you were out of your body just a little for a little period of time. There are people who have been able to learn to do this, travel out of body when they're awake. Effectively, what they're doing is experiencing consciously in real time what all of us experience, but then forget. And that's this great opportunity we have to go to where the dead are almost. I don't think we go there either while we're alive, but astral traveling. But go to a mimic of it and meet with our dead loved ones, meet with our guides, have fun. We all do that. Those who have learned how to out-of-body travel, astrally travel, can do that when they're awake. And what they report, by the way, what they and what near-death experiences report in some cases include validations of things happening at a distance that are then corroborated. If there were one such instance, someone whose body is sleeping and he is able to report in real time what happens at a distance, 50, 100, it doesn't matter, 1,000 miles away, one of those seals the deal, doesn't it? It says, yes, of course, we can leave our bodies. We have many, many corroborated instances of things that people saw at a distance or heard at a distance while they were either in an NDE or out of body traveling. So that settles that. A third thing that is going to very soon, I think, break this whole area wide open is electronic communications. We've been getting good electronic communications from people we used to think were dead since the late 70s. The heyday was probably in the 80s. And the problem was that the real experimenters in this field are the dead, but they've had a lot of trouble up until now getting good earthly, we call them lab assistants. People like Gary Schwartz and Craig Hogan are illustrious people on this plane of reality, but they're basically lab assistants to people that we used to think were dead, who are the real experimenters. And what's happening now is that they are getting such good communications from people we used to think were dead that very soon they're going to be able to share what they're doing with the world, and you'll be able to use your computer to get Aunt Martha's recipe, to talk to a loved one who has just died, to know yourself that everything has changed. This is Roberta Grimes on Seek Reality, and we're talking about the kinds of evidence that I think are most sort of interesting for you to begin to look at. The fourth is reported experiences people have with the dead. There are so many of these. They range from visions. Most people, more than 50%, as maybe as high as 75% of people who have lost someone close, very close to them in the past year, like a widow or a widower, they will have an experience with that person, which includes a vision. My mother even had one and told me about it. That's just normal. We have all kinds of signs people give. I wrote a whole book on it. It's called The Fun of Staying in Touch. And I hear from people all the time who report their really spectacular signs from the dead to me. So personal experiences with your own dead are a wonderful way for you to become reassured. And this is true of animals too, by the way. Pets can give you signs as well. Elements of scientific discoveries have to be included. When I talk to you, I'll be doing a whole segment, a whole hour on science. And this is someone who never got past Algebra 2 in high school, never took a physics course. I'm going to talk to you about science. And one of the things I'm going to do is to show you how all the many ways that mainstream science is screwed up now, many of those things can be explained by what we're learning in the new science of afterlife studies. And that's going to be kind of fun. But because the places they're screwed up so completely fit the evidence, I have to say they're very much reinforcing what we know. And then, of course, the sixth is communication through mediums. I was very skeptical about mediums because when I first tested them, I got very little. And it seemed some of them even were cold reading. And these were expensive mediums. I spent a lot of money, called it scientific research, and came away believing they were all charlatans. Then I met a real medium, who brought me real information, which I'll be talking about in a later segment. And I've come to understand now that, yeah, there are some very good with what are called spiritual or psychic mediums. There are physical mediums, too, which you probably know nothing about. And if we have time in the 6 months, I'll do a segment on what physical and deep trance mediums are able to do. Very few of them, handful, exist in the world now, and there are reasons for that. But all of these communications through mediums are perfectly consistent with what the dead are telling us, even today. Today I have a friend who I never knew in life, but I met him soon after he died at the age of 20, and he answers all my questions. It's just a wonderful thing. By the way, I'm not psychic. He talks through his mother, but it's great to have the ability to just ask questions and fill in some details. Okay, what I'd like to do next is to take you through death. This is kind of easy. My book on this is called The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next. And people have come up to me at speaking engagements and conferences and said, death isn't fun. What a terrible name. Call it something else. And I would say to them, well, the fun of being dead didn't seem to have nearly the same ring as the fun of dying. I wanted to call it Dying for Idiots, but that turned out to be overruled because, of course, it's like Dying for Dummies, right? But death is easy. It is easy. It's simple. Yes, getting there can be tough. The people who are complaining to me about the fact that cancer is a lousy way to go are right. But once you get close to death, everybody is in the same place, and it goes really well. Usually within the 24 to 48 hours before a death, a natural death, and we plan our lives, by the way, including our exit points. So even though you may not be consciously aware that your time is coming, and on a subconscious level, most people are, and it becomes a very peaceful thing. Usually within 24 hours of a death, we actually become alert. Even if we were in a coma, sometimes we come out of a coma. And that's a wonderful time. Usually there's no pain. It's quite blissful. Now, if you want to understand what I was so eager to know, which is where the dead are, think of your mind, not your brain, your mind, as a television set. Right now, your mind is tuned to that body on this level of reality. We think this level of reality is the lowest level, but we're not sure in terms of vibratory rate. But that's, it's like you're on channel 1 or 2. That's where you are right now. You think your mind is in your body, but it's not. It's nowhere near your body. It's just like, you're nowhere near whoever it is you're watching on TV. You think you are, though. It almost feels like you're right with whoever it is, but you're not. Your mind is still in eternal mind, where it always is and has been, always will be. But what happens at death is simple. All you do is your mind tunes, that TV set tunes to maybe channel 4, a channel very close to where you are now, and it there picks up a whole new solid reality, just as if you had switched to from the evening news on one channel to the evening news on a different channel, both live, both going on at the same time, both seeming real and solid, just on different channels. That's how reality is actually constructed. We'll talk more about this again in later segments, but it's really that simple and it's that amazing. It's all in the same place. So where you are right now in that room, there are all these other channels. It's just that we can't see them. We're tuned to this one. But just like all the TV signals are right in your room, so are all the places where the dead are and a whole lot of other stuff besides. There are other universes which are not material. There's so much going on. We're only beginning to grasp it, and it's amazing and it's beautiful. And it's kind of beyond the boggle point in some ways. There are parts of this I don't like to study, but we'll get to some of them too. So, okay. There you are and you're about to die. Here's how it feels to die. If you're awake, you'll probably feel, I think of it as unvelcroing. You're made like Matryoshka dolls, those Russian nested dolls. And most of those dolls are internal and they're going to leave now. They're your energy bodies. And what happens is they release from your fingers and your toes and come up into your chest, people who have died tell us that feels funny. It doesn't hurt. It just feels a little funny. But then you leave your body. If usually through the top of the head, but through the fontanelle, sort of, but sometimes through the chest. People who are at the deathbed might see that as a mist gathering over the body. That's actually the essence of who you are. And it seems to disappear. But what happens is you're raising your vibratory rate fast at that point. And you have seen for the past usually day or so, or sometimes only hours, you've seen people in the room with you. And that's your first inkling that you're about to die. When you see your mother or your dog or whoever, sometimes it's a crowd, actually. Sometimes it's a lot of people. When you see them and, you know, my goodness, they look great, you know that you're about to actually depart with them, which is a wonderful feeling, because if they're alive, then so are you. So there you are. You're about ready to die. And as simply as that, you hug your parents, you hug the people around you in the room. And what you don't notice is that you're still connected to your body. You're connected to your body by a little, they call it the silver cord in the Bible. People who have seen it say that kind of is a description. It's an energy cord, sort of made of light. And it has helped, it has taken you to the edges of the universe during your life. But now you're about to die, and it's fraying. And it separates. As soon as it separates, that's the moment of death. Let's talk about what happens next. There you are. You're in still in the room where you died. You have a solid body now. It's actually a young body, and it looks lovely, and it feels lovely to be in. People who have been through the death process and actually died say that the moment of leaving your body is glorious. It's almost orgasmic. It feels wonderful, which makes sense. I mean, you were trapped in a sort of boat anchor, that dying body, and suddenly you're free, light, glorious. You can float on the air. It's a great feeling to leave your body for the last time. And you don't look at it as if it matters at all. But those around your bed who love you, especially if you're too young to, in their minds, to have died, and especially if it was sudden, the people around your bed might be very upset. They'll feel for a pulse. They'll realize that, you know, the silver cord has separated. You are no longer, Elvis has left the building. And that's a time of danger for you because, frankly, you're clueless at that point. You are as clueless as a newborn baby is about what's going on and what's going to happen next. And the worst thing you could do is try to get the attention of the people around your bed, which is something which, if you're clueless, you may well try to do, but they can't see you. And by trying to get their attention, you lower your vibration again, so you may lose contact with the people who have come to take you where you're going. So if you remember nothing from this hour, please remember, when you're out of your body and your body seems to have died, the last thing you should do is stay there. Get the heck out of there. You can't help your loved ones until, frankly, you've finished your transition. From there, you can help and reassure them that you're fine. But I suspect, and a lot of others do as well, that all the people who are ghosts in houses, that's what they did. They were confused. They tried to contact people, and they remained frozen in time, sometimes for hundreds of years. They will be rescued. Everybody will be. But you don't want to do that to yourself. That is a terrible, terrible thing. So, all right. So there you are. Where are you going? The people around you who love you, who have come for you, that you used to think were dead, the pets, everyone who's come for you will be helping you to leave. And what happens is that as you, you know, hug them and go with them, your vibratory rate continues to rise. People who have been through this say that it feels like going through a fog. But you know the people are right there with you. It's just you can't see anything. But then the mist clears and you are in a beautiful new place, exactly in that bedroom, except this is enormous. It extends the North American Summerland, which is where we enter nearly all of us at death, seems to extend for hundreds of miles. There are rocky mountains. It's the most beautiful thing you can imagine. And you're thinking, wait a minute, what happened to the tunnel and the light? Well, I never encountered a single description of a tunnel and a light when I was doing this research. And I don't think many people heard about it as a possibility that could happen until Raymond Moody's wonderful Life After Life was published in 1975. That's the book in which he coined the term near-death experiences. I have come to conclude that the tunnel with a light is a rescue device. It's a wormhole that's opened by those who are concerned about you because you're out of your body at the wrong time, and they need to sort of hoover you through the very lowest afterlife levels. We'll be talking about those in a minute. And because you can have bad encounters there, you can get stuck there. So they safely rescue you and take you to a mimic of the mid-level part of the reality that we enter at death. That's all the tunnel in light is. You probably won't ever see one. In some cultures where they're taught that you cross a bridge, you'll see the bridge. It all depends on kind of what you're expecting. And for most of us, especially in this culture, in Western cultures, we're kind of clueless. And so most of us will go through that fog, or in some cases feel like we're climbing stairs, and then it all opens up. What's it like? I could do a whole show just on the details we've been told, but essentially it's a range, just as your TV can get channels from 2 to channel 200 or whatever. So there are a range of vibrations. It's not stripes. It's more like, just a rainbow, colors blending to one another, but those are energy colors. And at the lowest level, just very simply, let's talk in terms of 7 levels. That's sort of conventional, even though they're infinitely, infinitely full of sublevels. The lowest level is what Jesus called the outer darkness, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's no fiery hell. There is, however, a very bad place where you can put yourself. I've seen no evidence that anyone is there who was put there by anyone but himself. And there are a variety of ways you can put yourself there. But if you will not blame yourself, if you'll forgive yourself, if you'll love yourself, it won't be that hard to avoid ending up there. That's the sort of realm of negative energies. You just don't want to be, you don't want to be negative anyway. Just above that is a recovery level, level 2. It's better. There's more light there. The lowest is almost dark, but still not so great. Levels 3 through 5 are what the Vikings called the Summerland, and we sort of refer to it that way as well. These are the mid-levels where nearly all of us are, and they're beautiful. They're culturally specific, so if you die in China, you're going to probably end up in the Chinese Summerland and see pagodas, you know, with the curled roofs and stuff, and then be rescued by your own folks who will take you to your own Summerland. But the ones we're familiar with really are the North American and the British Summerlands, and they're quite similar. British may be more formal gardens. North American, you see those Rocky Mountains. You have a young body. Your body is up to you. Most people choose to look like what they looked like in their most recent lifetime when they were between 20 and 30 years old. But it's totally up to you. You'll be dressed pretty much the way you would have dressed at that age, probably. And you'll just feel good. You'll feel really good. People who have been ill sometimes find the transfer to be such a shock that they really don't feel better yet. And so they're put into what amounts to a hospital. Doesn't look like a hospital maybe that you're used to now, but it's where they can be cared for and helped to realize that they're now in health. And once they are able to free themselves from the illusion that they're sick, then they join us in the Summerland. The Summerland is very culturally specific at the lowest level, level 3. So if you die in China, you look around, you'll see pagodas and people dressed perhaps a little differently, and a lot of Chinese looking people. If you die in the United States and you're Chinese, it will seem similarly strange, but your loved ones will come and find you and bring you to your own culturally specific Summerland, level 3. And it's beautiful. The ones I'm most familiar with were the ones that were being described in the early part of the 20th century when the heyday of communications through deep trance mediums. And they were in the south of England and also in the eastern United States. Quite beautiful. Looks like the earth, very green. Doesn't have to be, though. On upper levels, you'll find the vegetation can be purple or pink or whatever. But it'll look just like earth perfected. The flowers are in colors that you've never seen because they're beyond the visible light spectrum, and they give off not just a lovely smell, but also an energy, which is life-giving. That's what they do. They put their face into a flower and sniff the scent, and they're breathing in the only kind of energy you ever, ever will have to take in while you're in the Summerland. We don't eat or drink there. We can, but most people don't bother. And I can talk in later segments about these details, but in general, you have this beautiful young body, and you look around, and one of the things you notice is nothing decays. There's no fallen leaf. There's nothing but beauty. It looks like it's a beautiful garden, full of flowers, full of trees that will caress you as you walk by. And in the distance, you'll see what looks like almost cartoon Rocky Mountains. I say cartoon just because I went near the Rocky Mountains and you can't see much mountains, but you sure can see these. They're snow-capped, they're beautiful, and people do tremendous fun recreation stuff there, like my friend Mikey on the sixth level, snowboards there. It's just beautiful. It's beyond my ability to describe it to you. And you have the senses that suit you to doing this. You have mind sight, which allows you to see almost 360 degrees. You can see behind you just as easily as in front. You have it's much more vivid. People have talked about the fact that you can see things that seem to be 50 miles away in detail. You can see little tiny leaves on trees that far away. You have mind hearing, which is so much more beautiful. They say you've never heard music on the earth like what you can hear in the Summerland. And there's so much to do there. There are concerts by, for example, Elvis is the big one that everybody goes to see, but Frank Sinatra, John Lennon, whoever it is you'd like to hear, you can hear Mozart conduct his latest symphony if that's what you'd like. Want something he wrote there, not on the earth. A lot of fun things to do. You can take courses. There's infinite time. You never need to sleep. And it's always daylight unless you choose for it to be night. You can have night or rain if you want it. Just who would want those things? It's always like 78 degrees or 75 or whatever feels perfect to you. And you can go anywhere. There is, we think in terms of seven primary layers, and I'm going to tell you in just a moment what the others are. But in fact, there are infinite sublayers, and each of them seems to be like the size of the universe, or pretty near. They're enormous. So you can have a house. If you're a hermit, believe me, you don't have to live near people. But then you can be instantly with people because we travel by mind. There's an early Elvis concert in Lithuania today. You just think Lithuania early Elvis concert in your front row center in a perfect seat. That's what it's like to live there. You want to learn to play piano. You have a much better mind there. A lot of people do study of their past lives and spend a lot of time in libraries kind of learning things because your mind is just, I don't care what it was like here. There, it's perfect. Level 4 is like level 3, only more so. Level 5 is really high. Most people will continue to incarnate until they reach about the upper part of the fifth level, or so we're told. It's up to you. You're not forced to incarnate. It's just that what you hunger for in the afterlife, as you've never hungered for anything, is spiritual growth. There are people around you who are very advanced. You know who they are, and you want what they have because they've got joy beyond anything that can be possibly described to you. And you want that. So the only right place to get it, you got to come to the gym if you want to develop your muscles. You come to this spiritual gym, which is all that the earth is. Each lifetime here is just an attempt to strengthen your own spiritual muscles. Level 6 is what we used to call the causal or mental level, and my friend Mikey, who lives there, calls it the teaching level. The people on the sixth level are so advanced that not only do they not need to incarnate, but they often don't bother to wear bodies anymore. They look like light. It's the same person. We all recognize each other anyway by our energies in the afterlife levels. But they're teaching in the afterlife. Someone like Mikey, who I'll talk about in a later hour, chose Even though he hadn't incarnated for hundreds of years, he chose to come back, spend 20 years here, so he could teach us as a modern 20-year-old kid. And that's what he does. His book is Flying High in Spirit. And it's the only book I've ever written that two people just last Friday said it's the best book they ever read. So there's a little plug for Mikey's book. And by the way, I don't get any revenues from it. I should just say it goes to his family, as it should. The seventh level is what we think of as the highest level. It's the source level. It's where all the light comes from. Much more light in the Summerland than we have typically here. And it comes from the source. Beyond this physical universe, the only light is the love of God. That's how it is. And there are hints, by the way, that love of God, which is light, also is lighting our levels now. I'll tell you, when we talk about science, you have to hear this. They basically have found this light. They just can't figure out where it comes from. And they've also found where it comes from. They can't figure out that it's giving off the light. It must be no fun to be a scientist nowadays. Thank you for sharing this time with us. I enjoy this so much. And of course, if you want more information about anything that I talked about today or at any other time, just go to robertagrimes.com and let me know what you'd like to know, and I'll try to help you. Our guest next week will be Sandra Champlain. Sandra hosts the popular podcast, We Don't Die, and she arrived at that conclusion by doing all her own investigations. While I've just been reading about these things, Sandra has been living them. She has wonderful stories to tell. She arranged to have some in-person experiences that were revealing, uplifting, and sometimes funny. And Sandra herself is the most delightful person you're ever going to meet. So please join us next week. This week, we've been talking just some teasers about what actually happens at and after death based upon nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent afterlife evidence. There can be no reasonable doubt that what we've talked about here today is true. There is no doubt that your mind is eternal. You never began. You never will end. There's no doubt about that. Your mind is part of the mind of God that continuously brings forth this universe. By the way, God didn't just like wind it up like a watch and let it go. God continuously manifests what you see around you. Reality is in God. Nothing else exists. Because mainstream science has been so insistent on maintaining everything has to be material, no matter what, the whole of modern science is insistent to this day that at death you're going to blink out like a light. But that's just not true. And by maintaining this needless fear of death long after it's possible to know the truth, the mainstream scientific community is harming the world and making itself look ridiculous. It's not just that they're trying to keep you living in fear that your life will end, but by maintaining this stupid and needless fear, because of the fact that consciousness is that in that range of vibratory rates, and the lowest is fear, the scientific community is sowing the very fear and anger and hatred that's causing all the world's troubles now, and getting worse by the minute. You want to look at the real source? Look to the people who keep trying to tell us that what we've been talking about today is not real. They're maintaining the fear, and it's not just science, it's Christianity and other religions as well. They're maintaining the fear that causes the anger, that causes the hatred, that causes the pain, that causes the shooting of innocent people for nothing. That's the source of the problem. We are going to have to get past the fear. And your first step in doing that, yes, you can transform the world. Your first step is getting yourself past all fear. You can do it. This is how it starts. The fear of death is the base fear. My dear friends, every human life is eternal. You never began and you never will end. And once you fully grasp who and what you really are, you're going to be able to claim with joy the eternal life in perfect love that is your birthright. I'm so grateful to you for listening. Please just know that I do have nonfiction books, Liberating Jesus, Flying High in Spirit, that's Mikey's book, My Thomas, which is the true story of Thomas Jefferson's life during the Revolutionary War and his marriage, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and The Fun of Growing Forever. Recent past episodes of Seek Reality are available on bbmglobalnetwork.com, and you can go back to 2013 if you go to webtalkradio.net and iTunes. If you ever lose track of where I'm broadcasting now, just go to robertagrimes.com, and I'll personally answer any email you send to me. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future, in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.